Do you know how many Santa Cruzans were arrested in this last round of sweeps? You say 63 people were arrested?
I know at least Jim Margulo was arrested.
Anyone know if anyone else is Santa Cruz?
I don't know. And now? I'm not really certain, but I know Kim was hitting the face with a megaphone.
Really?
Yeah, it was pretty excessive. And she was in a chokehold, and she was dragged to the car. So she kind of put herself out there.
Was there any other instances of violence? Did she receive medical treatment?
I'm not certain if she's received medical treatment. I don't believe she was hurt.
Charges against these 63?
The charges were blocking the sidewalk and resisting arrest.
And where did the arrests occur? About what time?
It happened around 9:30.
Last night?
Right, around 8:30. Yeah, 8:30. And it was at the corner of O'Fell and Sutter.
And were they told?
Post.
O'Fell and Post?
Yeah, around that area.
Were they told to leave? What was the situation?
Well, they were marching and then they were surrounded. They weren't really told to leave. They were surrounded. They sat down and joined hands. But I don't know that circumstance exactly. Well, there's an eyewitness here if you want to talk to him for the whole day.
Okay. Is there anything you want to add before I do talk to that eyewitness?
Well, I mean, it's really important for, I think, people to know that San Francisco Food Not Bombs invited all these people to come here to San Francisco to help us protest and to have a gathering where we had over 60 really competent workshops. We educated a lot of people about a lot more than just the arrest and direct action stuff. And then the Food Not Bombs gathering was a really productive and growing thing. And we sort of, I mean, I feel like apologizing to the people that came here and spent a lot of time in jail because they had bullshit. But I definitely want to thank everybody for supporting us. And I think it's really great that people can realize with their own eyes like what the problems are here. And, the police are protecting property first, maintaining law and order second, concerned about health and safety last.
And do you have any workshops continuing, or?
We have a gathering tomorrow morning at the UN Plaza of all the international and national members of Food Not Bombs, so that's a send-off, get a head count for everybody. But I think we're pretty much wrapped up the workshops.
I see. Well, Andy, you've been doing, 48 hours, 72 hours around the clock service, I understand, on the email and on the phones. I think we owe you a vote of thanks. Thanks, Andy.
Sure. Happy to do it. Here, hold on for Peter.
Okay.
Hello?
Hi, Peter. This is Robert down in Santa Cruz with Free Radio Santa Cruz, 89.3 FM. And
hi,
which Peter is this?
I'm Peter Donahue from Seattle.
Oh, hi, Peter. Have I met you? I don't know.
I don't think so.
Well, you're down from Seattle. How long have you been in town?
About a week.
And have you been arrested before? Have you been arrested while you've been in town?
No, I've been working in the office doing jail solitary and stuff.
But you apparently were a witness to last night's arrest.
Yeah.
Tell me what you saw.
Well, they tried to go up to the Fairmont on top of Policy, and they were turned back by California. And so they came back down the street.
How many police did you see?
Oh, at that point?
allow people to leave, or did they just arrest the whole
people? Yeah,
a plan be made to take the tests, even if they aren't suspected of drug use. The ruling stems from a 6th grade Oregon boy who was barred from his football team.
Now in Seattle, you had grown anti-homeless sit on the sidewalk. That's right. What happened?
The forum for a lot of acrimony to have protesters, particularly in the country which prides itself on being the forerunner of all constitutions concerning human rights. The United States has one of the first written constitutions, which embody basic rights like freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom of assembly. All those, of course, are guaranteed us in the United States, theoretically, by the First Amendment. So running down my notes, a couple of amusing anecdotes regarding Foodnet bombs in San Francisco and the continuing police campaign to remove them from UN Plaza, which is where they're feeding every day at 12 and 6. I was up there earlier last week when they moved in literally dozens of police officers and about 20 cars and vehicles simply to march up to where people were serving food and by bodily pressure remove people by simply terrifying them. When you see a bunch of armed police officers in a phalanx approaching, there are few, and there were none in the group I was in, who are willing to just sort of continue doing what they're doing. And you're being told, move on, get out of here, or you'll be arrested. Though in fact, when police waded into the crowd several days later to seize rice and salad and food being given out by Foodnet bombs in a location about a quarter of a block away, that's down on Market near 7th Street, for those of you who are going up there and want to join the festivities, that's where UN Plaza is, that's where Foodnet bombs surge twice a day in San Francisco. People stood their ground and they were arrested en masse. A number of people were arrested on that day. And interestingly enough, all those arrests, which were for such things as serving food in violation of an injunction that forbids Foodnet bombs from serving free food within the city and county of San Francisco, or conspiracy, which is a felony, to violate that injunction, all those charges have been dropped. Of the 100 people arrested, all of them been dropped, and as of Sunday, I believe all the people who have been jailed up to that time were released. And last night, I believe 30 or more people, as I said, were arrested for a demonstration that was essentially a walk to the hotel where President Clinton was staying in order to seek to get the president to address the people on the issue of human rights violations by the United States government, of which he is the titular head and representative against the United Nations Charter. It certainly is an issue that would be appropriate for him to address, and it certainly is an issue that is appropriate for protesters to address, particularly if the authorities are not addressing those issues, and the response of the San Francisco Police Department was to arrest those people for peaceful arrest. And you may have heard last night on Skidmark's Bob show, Candlelight Kim Argula, the activist from Santa Cruz, called in to that show and gave a description of the racism involved and the beatings involved and the unjustified arrests involved. And hopefully she may call our show, though I haven't made contact with people in San Francisco. I will at some point during the show attempt to contact San Francisco and get information on what is going on with Foodnet bombs in San Francisco. Now, some may be wondering, what does this have to do with us down here? Santa Cruz is Santa Cruz, San Francisco is San Francisco, a bunch of people running around demonstrating, what else is new? Well, that's a concern. Demonstrations seem to be ineffectual, often showboating kinds of things, which are more emotional therapy for demonstrators than a way of bringing to the public the issues. But I found in the Foodnet bombs demonstrations, a lot of the literature that is given out is very much on target. It is really a question of not just empowering the demonstrators who are saying, this is the reality of the situation. The U.S. is supporting the Indonesian government in East Timor and its colonialist genocidal policies. The U.S. government is ignoring the realities of homeless people being attacked, jailed, harassed, and you might say starved in San Francisco insofar as Foodnet bombs is being arrested and its food being seized and dumped in the gutter. These issues are important to constantly bring out for numerous reasons. It gives heart to other people who believe that this is wrong. It shows the public that the police are a force that can and should be questioned when they are in the wrong. It exposes the hollow promises and the hypocrisy of government authorities in San Francisco and elsewhere who claim that everything is fine or we're doing as much as we can or the Constitution is perfectly much in force and that there's no need for concern. There are many avenues to radical change, and the cutting edge often of those avenues is direct, nonviolent addressing of the issues through a form of peaceful protest that isn't even civil disobedience. I suppose it can be called civil disobedience if you are, as I was, serving free food 2 years ago in 1993 in October when I was arrested for ladling out rice and giving away bagels at Civic Center Plaza, two blocks from where Food Navans now serves at UN Plaza near Market 7th in San Francisco. I knew there was a court order. I knew that the police would regard me as in violation of it. And yet I continued to serve free food. And I did so because it was my belief that no jury would convict me of such a basic humanitarian action, that if the facts were known, that the jury would say not guilty, and this would stop the continuing arrest and harassment and food confiscations and seizures of literature tables, seizures of vehicles that Food Not Bonds had been subjected to at that time. I thought that by bringing the issue to trial, as I did several months later in February of 1994, that the jury, on hearing the facts, would say not guilty, or more likely that the prosecution, embarrassed and afraid that the jury would do that, would not bring the issue to trial. But I was wrong, although I was wrong because the issues never really got clearly to the jury in my case, and that is often the case in the courtrooms of this country. The technical thicket that you have to walk through, the careful segregation of issues that people are led to believe is the proper function of the courts, the muddying of the issue so that the basic human rights issue is obscured and juries are told, no, you can't rule on the rightness of this or that, the rightness of the basic issue. You have to instead, like an algebraic equation, simply answer the questions, was this person there? Did she or he violate this particular law? Technically, you give that answer and then you let the judge give the sentence. You abandon your conscience, in other words, to the court system. That was not the way the court system was intended, in my belief. The court system was intended as a fourth check. Not the court system, the jury in the court system was intended as a fourth check. Traditionally, you hear there are three branches of government, the judiciary, the legislative, and the executive. But, of course, most important is the people at the roots level. Even after the legislature passes a law, the executive signs it and enforces it, and the judiciary attempts to try you for it, it is the jury that can say, this is all wrong, there's a discriminatory prosecution here, the law against smoking marijuana, against drinking alcohol, the law against a victimless crime, prostitution, against sharing needles, the law that puts you in jail for a peaceful protest, and there are such laws, unfortunately, now in the books, in spite of the First Amendment, is wrong. We will not prosecute. We will not convict. We say not guilty. And when the jury makes that decision, that's it for the prosecution. They, in spite of the law, in spite of what the executive did, in spite of all the power mustered by the government, that ends the prosecution. And it is at that level that we have power. It is that at that level, if we become informed citizens and informed jurors, fully informed jurors, as one organization, FIJA, has it concerned with, they're pushing a thing called the Fully Informed Jury Amendment, which would make it a part of the, I think it's the California Constitution, that juries are informed that they have the right to essentially nullify a law or a prosecution if they believe it is wrong. Now, there are cases where that kind of nullification can lead to unjust effects, like in the South, when civil rights workers are murdered and white juries decide when Negroes are lynched, as they were. Blacks are lynched back in the 20s, 30s, 40s, and I think there was even a There was a lynching as late as the 70s, and I think there was one in the 80s. They can find people not guilty who are guilty. And that's a travesty of justice. But far more frequently, and here I tend to side with people on the extreme right, who are members of militias and people who are speakers on KSCO, fully informed juries will find on behalf of people who are victimized by laws such as the drug laws, the drug prohibition laws, which are a form of government welfare. They provide work for the police department. They provide huge budgets. It's kind of like confiscate in Germany, they confiscated the property of the Jews and got rich off of that. Here in the United States, they confiscate so-called drug profits. And I'm not trying to whitewash the realities and the sordidness of the drug trade here in the United States and the violence that comes with it. But as everyone listening to this broadcast knows, that is primarily a function of its criminality. And until we change that, nothing will change. Whether the city council wants to posture by putting more police in the beach flats, when the governor wants to insist that if you smoke a joint, you will lose your license, as is currently the situation here in California, even though California is the only state west of the Mississippi where that is true. Governor Wilson has insisted that, has refused to go along with the legislature in saying we should opt out of this crazy rule which the federal government has on highway funding. You're not going to get your highway funding unless you agree to pull the license of anybody who smokes a joint. Not smokes a joint in a car, but smokes a joint anywhere. It's incredible. People's livelihood is at stake, and of course in California, their livelihood is at stake under other draconian driving laws, which will remove your license, your car, if you drive on a suspended license, and the second time remove it for good. Not to say we should support drivers who drink and drive, but the question is not whether you drunk or drive, but the question is whether your license got suspended. Numerous people get their license suspended because they don't have the money to pay the fines. They're poor people, and they need to work, they need their car to work. And this is not to slight those who are properly pressing for other means of transportation, bicycle and public transportation, which of course is much preferable to automobiles. So I'm roaming all over the map here, and I was starting with Food Not Bonds and talking about my own legal case in the case of the being convicted for serving free food, and that was apropos. That was in San Francisco in 94, and that was apropos what's going on now, that the police are engaging in a form of really abusive behavior by even considering arresting people where they know the people are not going to be charged with any kind of criminal offense. I mean, all these people who are arrested for serving free food have been released and all the charges have been dropped, without exception, in the last week. So it's an incredible abuse for police to continue this kind of arrest. Do you have any thoughts on this? If you want to let me know what you think, am I just tooting my own horn? Am I shoveling rice in my own gullet here? It's 427-3772 that you should call here at Radio Free Santa Cruz. And if the numbers are too much for you, try 427-FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz, 89.3 FM, here in the beautiful Santa Cruz. We're going to pause briefly, and you can hear a little of Peggy Seeger. That is, if we can get Peggy Seeger on here. Sometimes you have to turn the tape over manually. Thank you. And you are listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides, with you until noon today, every Monday and Friday, at Free Radio Santa Cruz 89.3 FM. Call-in number, and we want you to call in. I've got my eye on the phone here, 427-3772. So we're talking about food not bombs in San Francisco, since that is the hot topic. Over 30 people were arrested last night up there for peaceful demonstration and a march to the hotel where President Clinton is awaiting, apparently, his moment to speak before the United Nations. He may actually have already spoken by now. And I have some direct email reports from food not bombs up in San Francisco, which I'm going to share with you. A little bit out of date, but nothing new had come over the wires, I guess, as of 2 o'clock this morning. Here's a report. At 7:15, Food Not Bombs march from UN Plaza toward the Fairmont Hotel, where the press corps and Putin's entourage is encased. Police met protesters several blocks from the hotel. Approximately 20 people are surrounded, and this apparently was sent out at a time when the police had not made arrests. By, quote, more cops than I've ever seen, according to one witness, who has seen over 300 police at a time in the last week. People sat down and are waiting it out. Clinton's motorcade was steered clear of the march, says one observer. Interestingly enough, last night, Sunday night, the police allowed Food Not Bombs to serve dinner and distribute literature at UN Plaza, de-escalating significantly from the previous week, where they were arresting people for almost any kind of food serving, and often just unrelated to food serving. They would simply arrive in military formation and march in, demanding people leave, sometimes after the food had been served up there. The update as of Friday was 104 arrests, all people released and charges dropped. So now I guess it's more than 135, 140 arrests. The atmosphere on Friday was such that a woman was arrested for sharing an apple. There's a report on a Friday arrest. An officer reached in to grab James Lanier. He twisted around, then three officers threw him down. His face was pushed into the concrete. One cop had his knee on the member's back. People were not arrested when food was served, and food was served on Friday in individual cups by many people. Arrests appeared arbitrary. Some of those people did not serve food. I understand later that they had used videotapes to identify the offending arrestees. Those people who had previously served food were singled out from the crowd and hauled away in squad cars and paddy wagons on Friday and Thursday. This sort of practice, by the way, of serving food individually by the cup is one we pioneered at the town clock in the group SWAP, Soup Without a Permit, a Santa Cruz guerrilla food group that served food at the town clock in violation of the wishes of then-Mayor Marty Wormhout and the spring of 1989, when there was no free meal and there was no Calamity's Cupboard, there was only the Kuroda Soup Kitchen noon meal, which, as many of you know here in Santa Cruz, will not allow you to eat frequently if you are unfortunate enough or daring enough to wear a tie-dye, if they think you're from out of town, if they think you're a deadhead, if they feel you're a high-profile activist. Actually, I've heard in the last couple months this policy, because Lee Loboa, the major proponent of this policy, has not been taking an active role there, though she has been seen at the meal again in a supervisory position. They have allowed people to eat, but they're not allowing people to get free clothing. If you have any, by the way, reports on the Kuroda Soup Kitchen meal in Santa Cruz, I would like to hear them either on the air now, you can call at 423-3772, or you can give me a call at any time at HUF headquarters, that's Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and the number there is appropriately enough 423-HUF, H-U-F-F, or 4833. So I'm looking for updates so I don't provide misinformation or slander the good staff of the St. Francis Soup Kitchen, which I'm always glad to see people giving out food, but when it becomes discriminatory and some people are denied and some are allowed, I become indignant and I'm prone to protest. As was Linda Edwards, by the way. Linda the Lark Edwards, a woman who died June 3rd, the beginning of this month, of liver cancer. I have here a memorial written for the memorial service that is coming up this weekend. Actually, not this weekend, this Wednesday. It's going to begin, I believe, at noon at River and Josephine, and it's going to involve going to the garden across from the Baglery on, I believe it's Cedar Street, and then at 4 o'clock it will continue at the free meal. The Food Not Bombs meal. The Food Not Bombs meal is at Cathcart and Pacific at 4 o'clock on Wednesdays, and that's when the Linda Edwards ceremony will be continuing. And I'm about to read this, unless... wait, a phone call is coming in. Before I read it, let's see what the phoner says. You, the audience, you always have the first say. Hi, you're on the air with Free Radio Santa Cruz. I think I recognize this voice. This is Lighthouse Linda LeMaster, is it not? Indeed. And you actually are the author of this in memory that I'm about to read. I'd like to apologize, by the way, to our listeners. I just turned down the phone here. So the first part of what you said, this is Lighthouse Linda LeMaster on the phone, making a correction in my comments on the memorial service that wasn't heard by the audience. So maybe you can repeat. Well, you can begin to say what you're saying. Sorry. This is on Wednesday at noon. Right. That's where Food Not Bombs serves on Saturdays and Sundays at 1 o'clock. This is Wednesday at noon. You're beginning your ceremonies for Linda Edwards. Sorry, go ahead. So that's noon Wednesday at right across from Stapleton's at the Caltrain lot at River and Josephine Street. Right, okay. Maple Street. Maple and Cedar. Corner of Maple and Cedar and downtown.
Ain't coming back. I'm gonna go ahead and go.
Actually, I wasn't aware of that. I heard kind of rumors and a little note that you were working on that project. If people want to help you with this project, should they give you a call? What number should they call you at? What kind of help do you need? Do you need people to prepare food? You might try contacting India Joe Schultz. He was often a supporter of Linda's demonstrations and provided food in the past. Give your number again. That's Lotus Maynard of the as a welfare parent support group worker. So you're going to start at River and Josephine at noon on Wednesday. Then between 1 and 3, there will probably be a video or audio that'll be at 20, what address? Okay. This is the Linda Edwards Memorial on Wednesday. There was some talk of a sleep out. Is that still in the cards, or? You were part of the sleep out that happened the evening that Linda died at the town club. And the memorial that happened there, where there was a, he set up, I believe, a photographic display of Linda's past photos of her and also flowers and signs. And so on. Yeah, I understand that the monument was desecrated the next day. And have you invited, dare I say it, public officials like the mayor to this memorial? Is there anything else you want to comment on regarding Linda's death? You should feel free to do that if you wish.
So I'm going to Justine's soon.
This will be the first time it's mentioned on the air, and so you probably should be the person to speak since you were the person there. If you would like to talk about it.
John doesn't wake up for a while, so I'm just getting my back if you wake me. And I saw the band of your 22 pajamas. He's only their age. Same thing on the channel. It's very impressive to speak. Did you ever see that before? Or did you see that? No, I'm saying that I don't mean to be away. I'm not gonna. She's kept so long.
She was 47. As I remember, she was in a room with two other women who were rather noisy and frequently kept her awake at night. The place was filled with much older people, much older women mostly, who had been abandoned. It looked like.
pretty much about.